Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. It's May 27, 2022. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Andrew Ness. Andrew, I am so happy to have you with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you are one of the younger members of the congregation, but we always start at the beginning. And I think I may know the answer to this one, but where were you born?
I was born in Long Beach, California, and then shortly after moved to the Portland area.
How many siblings do you have and where do you fit in the family?
I only have one sibling, my older brother, Trent, who is 18, 19 months older than me. So I'm the youngest sibling.
How old were you when you actually made that move to Portland? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. To Lake Oswego. And I was almost 3 years old.
Do you have any memories at all of life in California?
No memories, but I've heard a lot of stories.
And do you know the reason for that move to Portland or to Lake Oswego?
I think it had a lot to do with the schools in Lake Oswego and just a general sense that my parents didn't want to raise my brother and I in Southern California.
So was California a home area for either of your parents, or do you know what they were doing there?
Yeah, my dad grew up between San Francisco and Los Angeles at various points. And my mom moved from Canada to be a teacher, a school teacher in Southern California in her early 20s, I believe.
So when you got to Lake Oswego, did you attend public school there?
Yeah, I attended public school from kindergarten through my high school graduation, all at Lake Oswego Public Schools.
And did you do any moving around, or when your family got settled there, did they just kind of stay in the same house?
We just stayed in the same house the whole time I was there. We lived in that house from, I want to say, 2003 through 2018, when I graduated high school.
So what did you do for fun growing up in Lake Oswego, Oregon, as a young kid, say maybe in elementary school?
Yeah, in elementary school, I have a lot of really good memories in Lake Oswego. It was a really nice neighborhood to live in with a lot of kids around my age. So I spent a lot of time outside in elementary school. I have pretty vivid memories of water balloon fights and water gun fights in the summers. And I'd say a lot of my time spent with friends, we weren't really doing all that much of anything, but just kind of, you know, walking to the park. And I, you know, played Little League baseball at that time and stuff like that. So
what position did you play in Little League?
I think I spent, that's a tough one. I think I spent some time at third base. And I know I got heat exhaustion once when I was playing catcher. So I remember I played a little bit of catcher and then probably a little bit of outfield too. I wasn't very good. So they just kind of stuck me wherever.
So is that something that continued into high school or not?
No, I stopped playing baseball because of kind of Little League politics around fourth or fifth grade. And then in high school, I joined the swim team and played water polo.
Did you take piano lessons or any kind of musical instrument?
Yeah, I took in elementary school. My parents managed to drag my brother and I to piano lessons for a couple of years. I don't think we ever made it all that far, maybe 1 or 2 years. I briefly took guitar lessons at some point too, because I wanted to be more like my older brother. But really my main instrument, I played trombone from fifth grade through high school. And even here and there in college, I played in the jazz band my first year here.
What did you like about trombone, or what do you like?
Well, I remember I initially wanted to play trumpet in fifth grade band, but my band teacher told us that we needed more trombone players, and I was kind of told to switch over. But I remember initially thinking it was a really cool instrument just because of how physical it was compared to other band instruments. I mean, instead of just pressing a bunch of buttons, you actually get to move your arm. You move the slide with your arm, and I just remember thinking it was kind of a cool and unique instrument when I first picked it up.
Yeah, it's a cool instrument to watch being played.
Yeah, no, I've heard that said, and I mean, I think it just sounds beautiful too. You know, you can do some really unique things with it, especially in the context of jazz, which is kind of what I'm a little bit more interested in these days. That's what I play when I do play the trombone. So
what were you doing for church as you were growing up?
Well, I always remember being pretty active members at Portland Mennonite, mainly when I was a kid. Well, I did a lot of reading through the sermons at church. I remember that as a kid. But, you know, we came every Sunday, and I was always very involved in the youth groups too, and Sunday school classes. I have, you know, fond memories of Sunday school classes with various teachers from the church. And then I was pretty close with everybody in the MYF group as well when I was in high school, especially. But as a kid, I was in a couple nativity plays, I think, and I think I fell asleep on stage once, maybe, and, you know, stuff like that.
Were there any kinds of activities that you did with a youth group that stand out? Specifically, did you ever go to any of the conventions?
Yes, I did. I went to the first Kansas City convention. I believe it was there again 4 years later, but I went to the first one and then the Orlando convention as well. And I don't know how those slipped my mind, because those were, I had a really good time at those conventions. Yeah.
For those of us who have not been fortunate enough to go because we were not the correct age, tell me one or two things that you thought were really sort of special about those occasions. I assume just even the travel was kind of major from Oregon.
Yeah, I hadn't traveled a whole lot up to that point. So those were my biggest, with one exception of a trip to DC when I was in fifth grade or something. That was pretty much the farthest I'd been from home each time. Kansas City and then Orlando a couple years later. The thing that it exposed me to, first and foremost, to a lot of different kinds of Mennonites than I had known. You know, Portland Mennonite Church is not exactly in an island. You know, there are other Mennonite churches in Oregon, but, you know, there aren't all these different groups. And I didn't realize that even within MCUSA, there were, you know, so many different, a lot of the youth groups there were just very different than what I was used to. So that was pretty interesting. And it was also, in hindsight, as a Goshen College student, it was interesting because I can share and compare experiences with a lot of my peers here at Goshen who were also at the same conventions, which, I mean, it's just been very fun every now and then to talk with somebody about a strange shared experience that we didn't know we were, you know, there together for at one of the conventions.
So as you were getting into high school, were there specific subjects that were starting to be of more interest than others? Or were you starting to see some kind of a possible direction for where you might go?
I wouldn't say I was starting to see a possible direction. I felt pretty directionless in terms of like what I wanted to study in college. And, you know, I had no thoughts about careers or anything in high school, really. But I'd say, I always really liked my history and English classes in high school. And I think that kind of started because I just wasn't very good at math and science classes and found them kind of tedious. But I really was able to kind of, my school offered a lot of AP classes, and I was able to especially dive into history with AP US history and AP European history. I took both those classes and really enjoyed them. And I took AP English my senior year as well. So I was really setting myself up to kind of go into the humanities in college.
In terms of English, because I'm an English grad from Goshen College, I have to ask, was it the reading part of English or the writing part? Or talk a bit about what part of English you found or find intriguing.
Yeah, it was, well, I guess reading, writing, and, well, thinking, really. I remember my senior year in the AP English class that I took. We wrote a big, you know, literary criticism research paper in high school. And that was kind of my first big-ish, like, well-researched paper that I ever wrote. I worked a lot with my teacher, who was an excellent English teacher. And I just, like, found myself really enjoying the process and really enjoying, I mean, yeah, the process of reading and analysis and synthesis of all of, you know, all of these thoughts to kind of make a somewhat original contribution. And then I was, you know, very satisfied with the paper that I wrote. And so I kind of just fell in love a little bit with that process, which I'm not an English major at Goshen. One of my majors is history, but I think that experience is kind of what led me in the direction to study history.
And what is it about history?
History? Oh, that's a hard thing. That's It's a hard question. I don't know. So my first history class, I came into Goshen College really thinking I was just going to be a sustainable food systems major, which is my other major. I am a double major at Goshen. But one of the optional classes that we could take for that is History of American Foodways. And it was a history class that I could take as an alternate for sustainable food systems. And I took that in my first semester. And especially history at Goshen, the class is very small and intimate. It was maybe 8 people. And it was kind of seminar style where we all just sit in a circle and talk about, you know, different texts that we're reading. And so I thought just the freedom and the ability to, and, you know, being in a space where I felt comfortable to just bounce ideas off other students and hear what other people had to say, I just felt like I was learning a ton. And so that's what really, that class specifically was really what kind of roped me in. But I think, you know, about the subject in general, I am somebody who thinks about politics and kind of the world around me a fair amount. And I think like studying history, you know, helps me really give context and informs a lot of my beliefs and, you know, views about the world today.
Just changing a little bit, we're going to come back to Goshen in a minute, but in high school or during those growing up years here in Oregon, what were some of your first paying jobs?
I had a couple jobs in high school, and they were both at restaurants as a dishwasher. Well, dishwasher, kind of prep cook. The first was at, my dad owned a restaurant in Portland for a couple of years. So I got a job there and worked at first just a dishwasher and then kind of a dishwasher / prep cook there. And that was maybe, I don't know, a year, year and a half. And after that, I got a job a little bit closer to home in my neighborhood at this other restaurant called the Westlake Public House, where I basically did the same role. Yeah. So I really had food service experience coming into college.
And this money that you were earning, what were you buying?
Oh, let me think. A lot of pizza. There's a pizza place by my house that I went to a couple times a week with my friends. Oh, the occasional video game, some books. I think really though, I've never really liked to spend money very much. I'm not sure why. It's kind of one of my strange kind of neuroses, I guess. So I just held on to most of it, I think.
It always gives a bit of a window into our personalities and who we are when we find out what we spent that first money on. I always love that question.
Yeah, that's great.
So you graduated from high school, mm-hmm. and then you went to Goshen College, which is actually where you are now. How did you make that decision? Because not a lot of kids that I've talked to, even in church, end up at a Mennonite college. Tell me that story.
Yeah, so pretty importantly to my decision to go to Goshen, I actually didn't go directly from high school to college. I took a year off after high school and did a Mennonite Mission Network program called Service Adventure in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which was an amazing experience. I lived there for 10 and a half months, and I worked at the Habitat for Humanity Restore in town, and it was great. And going into that, I really had no idea what I wanted to do afterwards, whether I wanted to take another year or two off or whether I wanted to go to college. And really, my leaders in kind of our intentional living situation there, Rudy and Michelle, both were semi-recent Goshen graduates. They were both pretty young, in their mid to late 20s. And so I just talked to them a lot about it. And they both had really good experiences at Goshen. They had gone to Heston first for 2 years and then Goshen afterwards. And then between that and just talking to a lot of people at Albuquerque Mennonite Church who had graduated from Goshen and some people at Portland Mennonite as well, the other factor that really kind of led to my decision was just procrastination all year about applying to colleges. You know, the easy ones to apply to were Goshen and University of New Mexico, because I really loved Albuquerque and kind of wanted to stay in town. But Goshen, at the end of the day, between those two, ended up giving me a better financial package. And I really liked the Sustainable Food Systems program. So I decided to go there, and I had some friends there as well, which made it an easier decision.
I had sort of forgotten about your year in Albuquerque. That was a whole different just in the physical world that you were living in? You went from the green of Oregon to the deserts of New Mexico. Tell me what you liked about being in New Mexico.
Well, the first thing is that the landscape is just absolutely stunning. The city of Albuquerque is, you know, butts up right against a small mountain range, and there's just amazing hiking and mountain biking and all sorts of outdoorsy things to do in Albuquerque, which I did quite a bit of while I was there. And that was amazing. Also, I just found myself really enjoying the desert. It was a completely different kind of ecosystem and, you know, kind of natural environment than I'd ever been surrounded by. But I think most of all, it was just like a really valuable experience in terms of the work that I did there, the volunteer work at Habitat for Humanity, and the people I lived with in kind of this intentional living community sort of deal. There were myself and then a Canadian girl around my age, and then two Germans, a guy and a girl as well around my age, who I lived with, as well as the leaders who were a bit older than us and were recent Goshen grads. And so just kind of living in community like that was a very good experience. And it was a completely new working experience for me. The Restore, I don't know if all Restores do this, but in Albuquerque, at least, they make a concerted effort to hire ex-convicts and people with criminal records who have a hard time getting other sorts of employment. So I worked with a whole crowd of people for 10 and a half months that I, you know, wouldn't have gotten the experience to ever talk with or meet, let alone work with, for that time. So that was amazing.
So it sounds like the people with whom you were actually working were a big piece of that story, in addition to what the actual work was, that there were those two sides to it that were both very new to you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, the work was, I enjoyed the work for what it was. It was mostly physical labor, and I was mostly working in the warehouse in the yard. So working outside a lot on the forklift, and I drove a box truck as well to deliver and pick up stuff. You know, the work was fine, but the people I worked with were really what made the experience. I just met some of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life while I was working there, and heard some completely remarkable stories during my time there.
I was going to say, as a personal historian, I'm sure that you heard some amazing stories.
Yeah.
So then you were off to Goshen. What year are you in at this point?
I am going into my senior year. So I just finished my junior year.
And did you go on SST by any chance?
I did. I just got back from Ecuador, maybe a little over a month ago now, in mid-April.
Say a bit about that experience. You've been overseas before, I'm guessing.
Well, not really, no. The only international travel I'd ever done before was to Canada, because that's where my mom is from. But yeah, it was, I mean, SST was an amazing experience as well. It was pretty hard at points. In my SST group, I didn't really have any friends going in. So it was, in a lot of ways, a pretty isolating experience, because I had a language barrier with most of the people around me, and I didn't know people in my unit very well. And I made some good friends for sure, but it definitely at times was pretty difficult. And trying to strike the balance between, you know, staying in contact with people back home, but also, you know, not trying to take myself out of, you know, the incredible place that I was in the moment, that, you know, kind of proved to be a little bit of a hard balance to strike for me as well. But the first 6 weeks were study in Quito, the second largest city in Ecuador and the capital. And so I took Spanish classes with my fellow students there, and just got to explore the city a lot. We took a lot of short trips to different parts of the country. We went to the cloud forest in Mindo, and we went to the Amazon for a week. And then the second half is called the service portion, where I took a 5-hour bus ride down to central Ecuador, a city called Guaranda, and worked in a rural parish called San Simon, where I worked on an organic farm at a fundacion, or like a nonprofit that kind of ran this organic farm, and also hosted after school programs for local kind of like at-risk youth, I guess, and provided kind of financial and health resources for seniors in the area as well.
So it sounds like that was maybe a good fit in terms of just your general interests.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, the farm was really an incredible place. It was an organic, you know, integrated farm. They grew diverse selection of crops, and also had cattle, you know, milk cows, sheep, no goats, but rabbits and guinea pigs as well, and pigs as well. So that was the first, it was definitely the most extensive work I've ever done with animals. And then, yeah, I just planted a lot of cabbage. That was a lot of my time there as well.
So you have one more year to go. And what is the degree that you will actually end up with, or the degrees?
So I will graduate with undergraduate degrees in history and sustainable food systems, which is, you know, basically a degree that deals with kind of the ecology of agricultural systems.
Do you have any idea at all what you hope to do after graduation?
Well, I'm so used to answering no to that question. I almost just said it, but I actually do for the last 6 months or so. What I've kind of been thinking as of late is looking into getting a master's degree in library science. Either that or I'll go down the sustainable food systems route. I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm just kind of really attracted to that because it brings in a lot of the most interesting parts of what I've been able to do in my history degree so far. I could, it would give me an opportunity to be in a field where I could do research, but not have to actually write so much. And I just love libraries. I love being in libraries and all that. So
I was going to say, it sounds like you like to do research. Is that a safe thing to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in the field of history.
So this is an unfair question, but it never stops me from asking it. In 5 or 10 years, if you could be anywhere doing anything, any idea what that might look like?
Oh, I feel like I could answer that question in 10 ways. Well, anywhere doing anything? Yeah, probably working as you know, some sort of research librarian in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Albuquerque, despite being ranked, I think multiple years in a row, one of the worst cities in the United States to raise your children in. The state motto is the land of enchantment. And it's called that for a reason. Somehow after living there for 10 or so months, I just really fell in love with that city. So I'd love to return there. And yeah, right now, you know, hopefully my library science aspirations pan out and I'd love to be doing that.
So the enchantment part obviously hit home for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just something about the natural environment. And I mean, it's just a wonderful place to be.
Final question. If you can have a day or a couple of days right now to do anything at all that you would like to do, what might we find you doing?
Well, I think I'd love to go on another backpacking trip. I haven't backpacked for a really long time. And it's always been kind of a goal of mine to go on, well, maybe longer than a couple of days, but a couple of days would be nice as well. Go on a solo backpacking trip somewhere that I haven't been before. So, yeah. And I'd probably do a lot of reading on this solo backpacking trip.
And what are you reading? What would you be reading?
Oh, what am I reading right now? I'm reading a Barbara Kingsolver book at the moment called Animal Dreams. And I'd probably bring a history book or two along as well.
I just finished a Barbara Kingsolver as well. It had a lot to do with butterflies, but I can't remember the name of it.
Well, I'll look into that. I'm really liking her book that I'm reading right now, so I've got to read more.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to share this little glimpse into your wonderful, amazing life with all of us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Gloria. It's been really fun. And, you know, I got to come to the church retreat this year, which was wonderful. And the first time I've really connected with, you know, the Portland Mennonite folks in a long time. So I hope to be doing more of that in the near-ish future.
And I'm so glad that I connected with you there as well, because I got you here. And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.